National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Bernice Herzog. My respondent's name is Leonard Skirbel. Today is Wednesday, May 7th, 1997. And how old are you?
I am 78.
Well, let's have your birth date and that.
12/24/18.
Good. Let's go way back and see what we can find out. Do you remember your grandparents?
Yes, I do.
Both maternal and paternal?
Faintly paternal, very well maternal.
Okay. Where did they come from in Europe?
As best as I can remember, on my father, where my father came from, and I assume his father also, was in a shtetl in Lithuania. And the shtetl was called Kalvry.
And your grandmother?
That I don't know. Let me just say it. I've said this many times. I made a mistake in life, and I'm sure many people did. I'm not asking my father all these questions that you're asking me now, because I'd give anything. I'm always asking, but there's nobody asking. Give me the answers.
Did you have aunts and uncles?
Yes. My father came from a rather large family, and my mother, and my father's father was married two or three times, so there was a big thing.
In old country?
And here too. Yes.
And do you remember them at
yes,
all?
Yes, all very well. I remember all my father's brothers and all my mother's brothers.
But you don't remember your great-grandparents?
Not my great-grandparents. No.
But just your grandparents?
Yes.
What was your grandfather's name? Now this is on the paternal.
His name would have been Samuel Skirbel.
And your grandmother?
My grandmother would have been Libby.
And when did they come to this country? Do you remember?
I am just guessing that my father came probably in the late 1800s.
Your father?
Yeah. My mother was born.
Here?
Here.
Yeah. Did your grandparents come over?
Yes,
and
did.
Do you have any idea when
no,
they came?
No, I don't.
Okay, let's continue with the paternal side.
Right.
How many aunts and uncles from your grandfather?
On my grandfather's side, he had, let's see.
They would be your aunts and uncles.
Yeah, there was Louis and Israel. Jake and my father. That would be my father had three brothers and a sister.
Okay. And do you remember your aunt's sister's name?
Yes. She married a raider, R-A-D-E-R, from Aliquippa.
And what was her first name?
Rachel.
Rachel Raider.
Raider.
Okay. How about the maternal side? Your grandparents.
Yes. My maternal, my mother's maiden name was Morris.
M-O-R-R-I-S.
And my mother had two sisters and three brothers.
All born here?
All born here, yes. My mother was born here.
And your mother was born here. When did they come?
That I don't
know. You don't
know. Well, they were here.
What were their religious beliefs?
My father was very...
Now, let's go back further. Let's start with your grandparents. Do you know?
Well, I'm just assuming, because
okay.
of my father, that my father was very Orthodox. Religion was the most important thing in his life. And he observed religion, not only in ceremony, but his way of life.
Where did he live? weird that he and your mother
They lived in Mount Washington.
In Mount Washington.
Yes.
And when did they get married? Do you know?
No, that I don't know. Let's go back a little bit. If I was, I can almost assume that I had one sister that died for me. I was the oldest living. So if I were born 1918, say that they were married 3 or 4 years before that. So you're talking about 1914, 1915.
About the wartime.
Yes.
Did your father go into business in Mount Washington?
Yes. He and his brother, Israel, started a dry goods store in Mount Washington. In 1900, they started this store. Right.
And your religious background at home, therefore, was very Orthodox.
Yes. My father, we kept a kosher house. And my father always wore tzitzis. Every morning he put on tefillin, and I can remember. And actually attended all the holidays. Used to go down on the high holidays. We would move into downtown, somebody's home, because my father never rode on the high holidays.
And where was your house of worship then?
Our house of worship then? As in the Hilton Street, was Washington Street Synagogue, they called that. Back to remember Chicago, and I still go there.
And when you were a youngster, did you go there?
Youngster, this is how it worked. In Mount Washington, there were no shuls or synagogue, so I got my religious upbringing in Beecher, Bethel Synagogue. And Bethel was just started when I started to go there. I used to take 2 streetcars every day, come back, cold, winter, rainy, everything. 2 streetcars to Bethel, and the high hall, my father belonged to Mesa Metro Girl, and we would go down there.
I assume then that you were bar mitzvah.
I was bar mitzvah in Mesa Metro Girl, yes.
Oh, not in Bethel.
No, Mesa Metro Girl. At the Washington Street Shul, which that time was a big Orthodox congregation.
And did they draw from just the Hill District?
Well, most of the people lived, at that time, they lived in the Hill District, and Fifth Avenue, they were right off of Fifth Avenue, which is a wholesale district, so most of your prominent Jews, Orthodox Jews, went to that synagogue. And they had 2 very, very famous rabbis that nobody's forgotten in Pittsburgh, learned scholars. One was Rabbi Shinsky and Rabbi Kaplan. They were both there.
Now, you lived in Mount Washington, and you went to elementary school there?
Yes, yes.
And do you recall the name?
Yes, I sure do. I went to Cargo grade school, and then junior high school, went to Prospect. And high school, we went to South Hills.
I assume that there weren't many Jews.
Yeah, before you came, I was thinking about it. And there were about, that I can remember, there were 5 or 6 Jewish families that lived in Mount Washington at that time. And there was a couple tailors there, my family. And that was about all the Jews that lived in Mount Washington.
Therefore, it must have been difficult for you because there must have been some anti-Semitism.
Strange to my say, I never recall any anti-Semitism. Mount Washington is an ethnic area, but we never had any problems. I never had, I thought about that often. Did I ever encounter any anti-Semitism? And I cannot recall any anti-Semitism. And my father had an excellent my family had an excellent reputation, and we were never bothered with that.
Very good. After high school, did you pursue?
Yes, I went to Pitt, graduated from Pitt.
Did you have any anti-Semitism?
No.
Pitt?
No,
never encountered.
No.
Well?
I belonged to a Jewish fraternity, and I spent all my time with Jewish people, but I did not encounter any anti-Semitism.
How about, when did you graduate Pitt?
I graduated Pitt in 1940.
And after that, did you go into your father's
business? No, I didn't. I went to, I worked my way through Pitt, the Kaufman's department store, as an extra. Worked out in all summer there, and when I graduated college, I went into their retail training program.
That was about the time of the war.
The war is 1940, that's already, yes, yes, 1940, and I think I went to service in 42.
And what branch?
I went into the Air Force.
And again, the same question. Did you encounter any anti-Semitism?
I would hear some anti-Semitic remarks from some deep Southerners. Mainly if they were drunk, but not that much either. Not that much. But I was fortunate that the division I was in and the work I did, there was a higher caliber of soldiers there. There were quite a few that were college graduates. And so I would say we have the upper level in the time that I was in the service. I was headquarters, I've been, and most of them were pretty intelligent. There wasn't any anti-Semitism.
Now, Mr. Skirbel, would you go into depth about your war experience? You mentioned Buchenwald. Will you tell us about that?
Yes. I was stationed in a city called Weimar. For the Weimar Republic, and we had a very energetic, scrappy Jewish chaplain, Mickey Marcus. And one day he came in very excited, says, "You have to come with me, something terrible has happened." And I imagine we were no more than a 15 to 20 minute ride when we came into the Buchenwald. I came in there, we needed some clerical help, and I was the head of my section, so I brought some of the people, the Gentiles, and we had a couple of Jewish boys, and went over there with the rabbi, he was a rabbi, Marcus. And something we never imagined, we had never had previous knowledge of anything like this, and I distinctly remember we walk in, and that round sign as you walk in, which said something about if you want hard work, it was in German though, you know, if hard work, whatever produced, right. And they went into the administration building, and we were told what they wanted us to do. By that time, it started to sink in what was happening. And our job was to try to coordinate the surviving inmates' names with any relatives that they may have in the United States. And in other words, put the survivor, and the best he could give us information about a relative of the United States. The purpose of that was so that these relatives in the United States could be informed that they still had a relative. Survived the concentration camp. I had a knowledge of, I speak a little Yiddish, enough to get me by, and wherever there's a little problem as to exactly what the relative's name was or the city that they came from, I was able to help there. But there were, I remember typing many pages of names. I don't know how many survivors there were at that time, but there was quite a few hundred that we tried to get together. Most of the time, the information they gave us was not too accurate on there. Then I did get a chance to talk to the inmates once about the survivors, because as I said, I speak Yiddish, and the sort of, actually, we got can imagine what they looked like. They were emaciated, and they were rather reticent to speak. They didn't want to talk too much about what happened to them.
Were these people working in the...
They were just standing behind the barbed wire. They were the ones who were still remaining. They were still living. And men were isolated on one side, under the right side. Women were another section, and children another section. I remember a couple humorous instances, one humorous incident, that the inmates, the survivors, couldn't imagine what size of cities in the United States. And they would say to me or somebody else I was with, do you know my cousin Izzy Cohen in Brooklyn? Like it was all one small area. And another thing that I remember about that even though they were just liberated, all they had gone through, one started to point the finger at the other and say, see him over there, he was no good. This would say, see him over there, he was no good, which rather surprised me.
What was their reason?
Well, you know, it probably was, who knows what went on in that camp is you can't comprehend, and I'm sure that things that they did were out of survival, just in order to survive out there. And I was amazed that we never heard of anything here and about that. And another thing that I thought about much later was that we got back to camp, that none of our superior officers asked any questions about what was going, you know, what went on there. And these were officers who were some West Point graduates, and they were the higher echelon, captains and colonels, and they never asked any questions about what was going on there. Some of the things I'll never forget is that I saw this famous lamp shade that Ilsa Koch, who was the commandant's wife, she made out of human skin.
Yes.
And it was she took tattooed skin. That was her favorite skin thing. And she had that skin dried out somehow, and she made this lamp. And if I'm not mistaken, the shade was over human bones. I went into the crematorium, the ovens, and one thing I remember very well were these big meat hooks that were on the wall, and they used those hooks to put the bodies on there. I'm sorry to say, but I was very young at that time as a carefree soldier, and once again, I didn't look and ask more questions about the camp. I got some idea, but I really, I had to do it over again. I would have looked in every nook and cranny. We were at a disadvantage, and we weren't taken on any kind of tour. There were groups of officers, when they come in, they'd have either a former survivor, take them around, or somebody see everything, explain to me. But I saw enough to know what these people went through.
Were you an enlisted man, or were you drafted?
I was drafted.
As many were. A little bit more about Buchenwald. Were you among the liberators, or did you come later?
We came later. I was not a liberator.
Oh,
no. I would say, from as I recall, it was no later than the second day after Buchenwald was liberated.
Oh, so you were
follow-up. Right.
Aside from Vymir, where else were you in Europe?
I started off in England, and and I was many bases in England. And prior to the, I worked on the planning of the invasion.
What invasion?
The Normandy invasion.
Okay.
And one of my duties was to go visit all the ports of embarkation where they were gonna, the boats were going to take off from. So I was in Southampton, Portsmouth, Bournemouth, any place that was a port of embarkation for the invasion, I inspected. And then I was in, from right after the invasion, I went to France, Normandy, a few days after the invasion, and I followed the Third Army, went to through France, Belgium. I was part of the Battle of the Bulge and the retreat to the Battle of the Bulge, and then I went into Germany.
And how long would you say this time was, the span of time?
I don't remember exactly.
2 years?
Well,
a year and a
Europe,
half?
Well, my span of time in the service.
No, in Europe.
In Europe. I guess a couple of years I was in Europe, yes.
And total in the service?
4 years.
Oh, you went 4 years. When you were discharged, what rank did you have?
Master Sergeant.
Who in the service, somebody in the service, influenced you in any way, in a business way, in a financial way, in a social way? Somebody that influenced you?
No, I really didn't have any influence. I had a few superior officers that took me under their wing while I was in the service. And, promoters made sure I was promoted and I had the proper job, sort of like that after me.
But did you learn anything specific from
no
these?
No specific skills.
No. Any specific ideas, not necessarily skills, but...
Well, the only thing I might say, I'm recalling is a sudden question, but I would say that I required a lot of confidence in myself and able to be with any type of person. We have all type of people. I was sort of a sheltered Jewish boy, pampered, and lived in my own little community in Mount Washington, and was never really exposed to the outside world. And the my experiences in the Army, I had a great mixture of all type of people, and I got along and made friends with everyone. I never had a problem when I was in New York.
And you learned how to live
with people.
That's
right.
Very good.
Right.
After your service, and what year was that? When were you discharged?
I was discharged in 1945.
And after that, what did you do when you came
back?
Well,
I came from Kaufman's department store. I worked there before I went in the service. And when I come back, we were guaranteed a job, and I went back to work there. And just as part of the narrative, when I come back, I was taken to see Mr. Edgar Kaufman. Edgar was the merchant prince of what is now Kaufman's department store. Went up to his luxurious office, and he talked to me about my service in the Army and what my future was going to be in the store and everything. But I didn't stay at Kaufman's long.
When you left Kaufman's, where did you go?
When I went to Kaufman's, I went as a traveling salesman.
For whom?
On the road. And then...
For whom?
I went with a couple people. I went to work for an outfit called Jerk Socks. It was a hope find. They branded a hosiery line. Then I went to work for another men's line called Donegal Sportswear. And I left Donegal Sportswear. My father was very ill, and I decided I wanted to stay in the family business.
And what year was that?
That was 1954.
And while you were a traveling salesman,
yes.
Did you ride on the Sabbath?
Yes. Yes, I did ride on the Sabbath. I was never a shopper's. Shops, and I had my own. many things I observed, but riding on the Sabbath or strictly observing the Sabbath was not part of my routine.
Okay. Then, therefore, you don't obey that law now?
No.
Now
no,
you
not
do.
Not right now.
Okay. That's fine. You had a home base, even though you were a traveling salesman. And where was that? Where was your home?
Well, my home was in Mount Washington.
With the
where
family.
Where I was brought up, yes. Yes.
And what did you do in your father's business?
I ran the business. My father passed away, and I owned the business and ran the business just as he had done.
That's good. And how long did you do that?
I did that to. I know exactly. I got out of there in 1988. 1988.
80.
I closed up that business.
And then what did you do?
Well, I still had another store in Mount Washington. We had my wife ran a card and gift store.
Wait a minute, we don't have you married yet.
Okay.
Leonard, you were saying after you got married, but tell me first, what year did you get married?
I got married in 1962.
1962. And to whom?
Our maiden name.
Let's have her first name first.
Tamara.
And now her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Tamara Martin.
And where did she live?
She
married.
And where did Tamara live, Leonard?
Squirrel Hill.
That's fine. And how did you meet? Or where?
A mutual friend got us together.
That's good. And what was her background? Did she go to school? Was she Orthodox? Say school, I mean college.
She did not go to college.
That's all right.
Her background was not Orthodox.
Okay. And she assumed the type of Judaism that you were.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And as much as Passover, she observed all the rituals at Passover and joined me in all the high holidays, things like that.
Yeah. Is she Jewish?
Yes. Yes, okay. Definitely.
Okay. After you were married, Len, what did Tamara do before children came along?
Well, first place, she had children, two daughters from previous marriage. And she always kept busy. And then we decided to open up a card and gift shop, and she managed that. But she really didn't run that on a full-time basis.
When you got married, how old were her children?
Her children were 6 and 8.
Boys or girls?
Girls, two girls. Six and eight.
And then she helped you in the store.
Well, she sort of ran that herself, the card store, yes.
And where was that located?
That was in Mount Washington also.
And after you got married and thought about it a while, when did you have children and how many?
We have one daughter.
And
she was married. She was born a little over a year after we were married.
And that would make her how old now?
She is 33.
And does she have children?
Yes, she has three children.
And how old are they?
I think 8. I know the one is 2 years old.
Let's try to associate their name with how old they are. That might be easier.
Okay. Well, we have the oldest is Matthew.
Matthew is how old?
7 years old. Next one is Charlie. He's 5 years old. And the next one is Maggie.
And yes. How old is she?
18 months.
And the two older children?
Yes.
How, what are...
They had...
What are their names?
Their names are, Cheryl is the oldest one is Cheryl, and the next one is Susan.
And they have children?
They each have two children, yes.
And you know their names?
Oh, yes, oh, okay. Yes.
And how old they
well, Cheryl's
are?
Cheryl's children are Brett, who is 14, and Corey is 9.
Okay, so now you have given me the names of all your children and the grandchildren. The grandchildren from the two older girls.
No, I didn't give you the
No, I say you have to give me those
Yes.
Now.